Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First down and 10 from the 11. Russ has time. Got a man in the back of the end zone. Reaching up, feet down. It is Lockett. Touchdown, Seahawks. Tyler Lockett dragging the toenails once again. Back corner of the end zone. And a perfect teardrop pass from Russell Wilson. The Seahawks go back on top. 13-7. Empty backfield. Murray takes the snap. Looks. Gets hit. Goes down. Seahawks sack. Murray getting there was Dunlap. Came off the edge. Almost untouched. Huge play by the Seahawks defense. And the Hawks are going to win this game at Lumen Field. And it's going to come on a great defensive play with 34 seconds left in the game.
There's always, you know, highs and lows. There's always tough challenges. But I think great players always know, one, how to be consistent, and two, how to consistently adjust and how to consistently overcome. And I think that for me, that's my mentality all the time. I tell you guys all the time, I want to be neutral. I want to be able to remain calm in the midst of the storm, this and that. And just, I know the kind of player that I am. I know what I'm capable of, and they do too, you know what I mean? And I think that the other team and stuff like that. So just staying in attack mode. I think that we were able to do that in the passing game today. We had some key plays. We had some plays that got called back, actually, that, you know, and just stuff like that. But so we had even more out there. And I thought it was a great game.
All right. Hey, Russell Wilson. You don't have to say anything else, man. You kind of left one thing out there, my man. Your running game went for 165 yards and a little 5.3 average. So when you do get a long play to Metcalf called back, on a terrible call, by the way, just terrible call. Hey, anyway, say good morning to everybody. Thursday Night Football. Of everything that happened last night in a game that probably was a little different than everybody thought. I think everybody thought it was probably going to be a little bit more of a shootout, a little more of a Christmas special where you stuff the stat sheet, and it didn't exactly happen last night. But of everything that happened in that game last night, Zach, Kyler Murray gets sacked at the end of the game.
Yeah, would not have expected that one, that's for sure.
I mean, Kyler Murray with 30 seconds chance to bring him back and tie it up and if maybe go for two and win it, and he gets sacked like he's 6'4 and been around the league for 18 years and can't run. Right. That was a weird one. It was just very weird to see. Without a blitz, by the way, just a four-man rush. That was weird to see him just go down like that. Looks like maybe his shoulder was hurting because he didn't.
Yeah,
it
looked like he got banged up a little bit early, right? You know, he got one of those sacks. It looks like he hit his right shoulder or they came down on his shoulder a little bit, and he looked a little bit off from there. But even a little bit off, he's still pretty dynamic. But, yeah, if you would have told me the game's going to end on one of these five scenarios and one of them was Kyler Murray getting sacked to lose the game, I would have said, okay, take that one out. What else do we have?
Right. Yeah. No. He usually is really good at making that first guy miss. But, just the fact he ran five times for 15 yards last night tells me he wasn't feeling it because he didn't look like the guy that we've been watching every week last night. But anyway, hey, Seattle gets that win, gets even back home in a crazy game with a lot of stuff. Yeah, for me, last night, Seattle runs it 165 yards on the ground, a 5.3 average. That's pretty damn good stuff right there. That's going to get
a lot of games in the NFL.
You.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff. We got some sad news in the Dolphin family. Boy, I guess everybody knows, and if you've been paying attention over the last year or so, going back to the undefeated, we call them the undefeated team of players that played on the 17-0 team, and during that time and the greatest part of the history of our franchise, of the Miami Dolphin franchise. Jake Scott, 75 years old, passed away, and just a great player, fun, wild, whatever you want to say. Jake could get it stirred up, and was a really fun guy to be around, and actually got to meet him through, spend time with him. He was good friends with Billy Kilmer, which for a long time I could like finally had to ask Billy Kilmer, who used to be, I don't know if you guys remember Billy Kilmer, and I'm going back on you too, and I apologize. Yeah. Billy Kilmer was the starting quarterback for the Redskins, along with Sonny Jurgensen, on that team that the Dolphins, when they beat the Redskins, Billy Kilmer's the starting quarterback. Anyway, Jake Scott and Billy Kilmer became teammates after Jake had a run-in with one of the greatest stories, and I don't know if I'm going to attempt to tell it because I've heard it so many times, but it's a top 10 all-time drinking story when everything's told, just to give you an idea. And the reason I say it is because Saturday night on the road, we have guys that tell all the stories from running out of hospitals to all the stuff behind the scenes that nobody, like the papers were trying to talk about a feud between Jake Scott and Don Shula, which there was in preseason. And the story for the people that are there is just one of the greatest stories of all time. Just an incredible, just a clean version real quickly. So there's a preseason game, and the doctor comes over and says, hey, Coach Shula wants you to play. Jake Scott said, what? I told him, you know, my shoulder's hurt. Says, yeah, but they want you to do whatever. The story goes, whatever it takes, they want to see you play.
Right.
And he goes, so the story goes, and I sometimes I'm not really good at, like, the boundary of this probably should have stayed private or it's okay if I tell you guys this story, because I know I've never told this story, but it was mentioned as because Jake and Don Shula didn't talk for years and years, and it's really sad. I mean, I probably should just leave the story alone. I'm sorry I did that. It was such a great tease. Such a great tease. But of all the people you want to tell to do whatever it takes to play in a preseason game after what Jake Scott had done to that point in his career, that was the wrong guy to tell that to. as you can kind of – I'll just say this. He got traded to the Redskins after that.
Okay.
And so to give you an idea, and by the way, So Jake Scott played with Dick Anderson, one of the great safety tandems to ever play in the NFL. I know you guys know Dick Anderson. Jake had 49 interceptions in his career. It's like, so wow. People go, Jake was just kind of nice. Jake Scott had 49 picks and was the MVP in a Super Bowl. Wow. Like, you don't win Super Bowl MVPs and have 49 picks by being called a nice player. I mean, you look at a lot of guys, 49. By the way, Dick Anderson played with him, had 34 picks. Can you imagine those two playing together with the stats and how many times and how good they were disguising and all the different things they did in Bill Arnsberger's defense? Just an incredible story. So anyway, to all of Jake's friends and everybody else, it's kind of weird. Do you remember the and I was going to have Dave Hyde on this morning. Do you remember when Dave Hyde took off on a story and went to Hawaii and found him living?
Yes.
In the middle of, like, nowhere, hanging out with these people, like 20 hours from here. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but a long way from here.
Yeah.
And there's Jake out going, all right, I'll talk to you now, but don't mess up my view there. I like this view of this time while he's drinking cocktails. He was just, you know, he's just a...
He's living the life, man.
Oh, just a wild, fun-loving, strong opinions, would tell you what he thought, and that got him in trouble, and you can read some of the stories in the papers. I saw him clean out a bar one night my rookie year. He wasn't on the team, but saw him come in, heard some girls screaming, and saw bouncers run for the door, and I looked up, and one of the guys was older than I was that knew Jake goes, oh, that's Jake Scott right there. I was like, oh, Jake's here. Yeah, he must have said something to that poor lady she didn't like. So, yeah, there's
good stories from Jake Scott.
Yeah, yeah, stories, listen, right? Man, a lot of stuff when I see that. But, my gosh, man, we are our history will never leave. But the guys that were a big part of it, boy, they are recently lost Coach Shula, Bob Kuchenberg. I mean, you just go through the list. Jim Kick. And I know we also have some guys in really bad shape right now as well. And so, yeah, all those guys between 75 and, oh, gosh.
Yeah, they're getting older, Joe.
Oh, yeah, it's just the whole group all over the place. And I told you I went to Coach Shula's birthday party. I got invited. Very, very fortunate to get invited. And it was about those guys. We were just there to eat food and get a couple of free drinks. But
Joe, you're 18 months away from this being the 50th anniversary of that team. You know what I mean? Like this, it's been a long time since that 72 team.
So I always got to be careful because I do like to keep, you know, the history of what happened in the 70s for people up early in the morning. But I also know, like, people are going, I have no idea who Jake Scott is. Isn't Jake Scott a country singer or – like, I have no idea who these guys he's talking about. So, I understand that, too. You know, I get it. And but
it's Dolphins history, though. It's got to be talked about.
Well, listen, man, you just wanted to – I didn't play with Jake, but I played with Bob Kuchenberg and Larry Little, who's still alive, and Tim Foley, still alive, and Bob Greasy, and so had a chance to – some of the guys were coaches. Bob Matheson, before he passed, became a coach for a while for Coach Shula, so had a chance to be around some of those guys. But, man, just unbelievable. Wanted to just mention that. NBA free agency today at 6 o'clock. I want to throw some names out at you guys here. Tell me what you think. If anything gets your toes tingling a little bit. Okay, you guys ready?
I'm ready.
See if you get that feeling. You know, there's that special feeling. All right, I'm just going to throw them out. Fred Van Vliet. Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah.
Hell of a player for Toronto.
Right. Yeah, that makes me a little happy. Sure, why not?
Gordon Hayward.
Depends on the money.
No, it's expensive. Got no shot.
Yeah, depends on the money.
So he's basically, listen, he just turned down, opted out on $34 million.
Right,
so,
right.
So he must know he's somebody, probably a bad team or a team that's not very good right now. Is going to give him, because he's 30 years old. So you're getting a guy going to pay him for 30 to 33 or 34. And honestly, he's been injured a lot.
Yeah.
Saw him when he came back. Yeah, I agree.
He's Joe a perfect Harris, fit for the Knicks. Perfect fit for the Knicks, Gordon Hayward.
Joe Harris, although he's already said he wants to go back to Brooklyn. Joe Harris, nice one.
Yeah, not bad. Better than Gordon Hayward, yeah.
Bogdanovich, deal fell through, so he's a free agent.
Yeah, that's a good shooter right there, yes.
Gallinari's an interesting one. That's about 18 points a game where he's going to end up. But that's kind of it, man. We're calling them nice complementary players. So that's what you have, whatever order. I know there's some other guys out there, too. Listen, there's a bunch of guys that would be nice little pieces, but not guys going to take over games every night for you and do all those great things. But that's what it – kind of looks like, and you know what our theme is. Let's run it back, man. We are going to run it back, as Pat Riley's already talking a lot about Dragon and Jay Crowder and seeing and getting their deal done. Could be a 1-year deal, but could be for good money. I'll just say this: if it's a 1-year deal for Dragon for $20 million, or a 2-year for double that or close. Dragon ain't going anywhere because ain't nobody else paying him that kind of money at 34. Right.
I think you got to be safe and do 1-year deals at this point. I don't know. You know, it depends on the player if he'll take it, but you got to try to do that.
Well, and then that option thing, of course, it's who controls the option, the player or the team. Which,
right.
You know.
Better hope you're controlling it, yeah.
Crowder, you know what, though? He's really never made any big bucks, so I wonder if somebody throws him out there some pretty good money if he says, hey, loved it here, but I got to go make myself a little bit of money. So,
well, that's what Geltziler said yesterday, too. He said, this guy, you know, if somebody offers, it's going to be tough right now at this point in some guys' careers to say, do I want to stay for culture and this, or do I want to stay for an extra $12 to $15 million that someone else might be putting an extra year or two on my deal with, you know? You got to be careful with that, especially this time of your career.
And that's been the theme for 20 years in New England for those guys. Right. Like, look at this, winning is great. These parades are great. It's sure nice to win all these games and play all these playoff games and home field and all that. But then I go sit down and I see what the other guys are making on crappy teams or average teams, and I see what I'm making. And all this team success is not helping me when I retire. I'm dead serious. I was talking to Wes Welker about this. This is a talk when Wes was down here, came back down here, was spending time and had retired and was living down here. And that was the big thing for Wes that all those players talk about. Like, look at, man, like, Edelman's been a hell of a player, right? And even to the point people are going, whether is he a Hall of Fame player because he's been involved in all these great playoff games, Edelman hasn't made any money compared to these other receivers.
Right.
Now, he's going to go down, and every time there's going to be a party, Edelman's going to be the president of the party and the first guy introduced and a fan favorite. But all that stuff doesn't put extra money in your account.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Sure is nice to win that much, though. All right, man, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more. Got a lot of Dolphin stuff to get to here this morning. Hey, we're ready to get going, too. High school playoffs today. We got more with Larry Bluestein. Got a real special guest for you. Really, really special guest. Penny Hardaway is going to join us this morning. The head basketball coach. Sounds kind of weird. Penny Hardaway is a great player, but a head basketball coach for the Memphis Tigers. Yeah, probably know. He coached Precious Achiuwa, so we'll have him on a little bit later. Larry Bluestein's going to get us caught up on all the high school stuff as we get ready for the local playoffs as well as the state playoffs that are going on right now. All that stuff straight ahead here on a Friday. But first, I want to talk to you about something you can really help me. We're a few days away from Thanksgiving. And no matter how you're treating Thanksgiving this year because of COVID-19, I just want to say on behalf of Chapman Partnership, two fantastic homeless facilities. When I say fantastic, the work they're doing to rehab and help these homeless families and men and women and children to get back out on their feet. It's so much more than a warm meal and a place to sleep. It really is about helping you and giving you the tools to get back out to a self-sufficient life through comprehensive care. And they do a great job of it from top to bottom. So listen, during these uncertain times, we once again need your support during Thanksgiving. So we're kicking off our Thanksgiving drive as we always do. And like a lot of families can get together and you're doing okay and you're healthy. And so if you'd like to help and get involved and you're feeling like you've got a few extra dollars, please join me at 560 this holiday season. Share your treasure and help me feed more than 800 men, women, and children for only $100. You can help feed a family of four, three hot meals a day. That's right. You can feed a family of four, three hot meals a day. So please help us fill the plates of Chapman residents by visiting chapmanpartnership.org. More than 800 men, women, and children. You can really make a difference on behalf of Chapman Partnership. Anything you can do, thank you so much.
All right, 560 to Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of our friends at Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more information, go to finscu.com. If you want a chance to win those Dolphin tickets to an upcoming home game at Hard Rock Stadium, well, log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Dolphins is AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, the Joe WQAM, and streaming on radio.com.
Well, happy Friday to everybody out there. I never thought I'd be saying this. The Fins are going after their sixth win in a row, headed to Denver today. And I never thought – I mean, listen, you've been around this thing. You've been punched and knocked around, and somebody says you're going after your sixth win at Denver. you're going, wow. And you look at that part of the schedule, and if everybody was to be honest about it, you're like, oh, boy, you're in 49ers out there. Oh, boy. Now, they were banged up. Then the Rams are going, oh, I don't know about the Arizona. Oh, my God, they're playing. So they've been able to take care of business, find out about Drew Lock, who's got sore ribs. I'll tell you why he's got sore ribs, because he friggin' turns the ball over so much, man. It's incredible. If he's trying to tackle everybody every time he throws an interception, listen to this one. Denver has turned the ball over 21 times already.
Wow.
21 turnovers, 16 of them are interceptions.
Jeez.
Well, he threw four last week. So,
I know, so but still, that's just a lot. 16, Joe.
So he's trying to play, and I'm thinking, trying to play with those ribs, and he's struggling anyway? Why not go with one of those other guys?
Right.
And maybe they
lose.
Will.
Right.
But I can tell you one thing. Coach Flores isn't going, gosh, that poor Drew Lock. God, I feel just terrible about this. Guys, call off some of those blitzes.
Right.
They're gonna go after him every chance they get. Once things stop or slow down the run, they're gonna really start to pick it up. So, hey, we got Thursday Night Football. Ended up being a pretty good game, actually. I mean, there's the Cardinals again. I don't know how many people are thinking on the last drive, well, they got a chance to do it again, get this sucker into overtime or get real aggressive and go for two. And there they are in pretty good field position with 30-something seconds left. And the weirdest thing of all, Kyler Murray, who just drops back and takes a sack.
Could not believe it. Right. Could not believe it.
Usually the first big guy that goes after him has very little chance, but they kept him in the pocket, came around, and you're thinking of all the ways that this thing could end and forcing a throw into the end zone or something, and he ends up getting sacked on a filthy night of penalties. And what I see last night, Cardinals ended up with 10 penalties for 115 yards and I think the Seahawks had 8. So it was a little sloppy at times last night in Seattle.
But trade for Carlos Dunlap worked out pretty good last night.
Looked pretty good.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, he got a couple of sacks in that and looked pretty good, man. It's amazing when you go to a good team how much better you feel than being a part-time player on a team that's struggling, to put it nicely, right? Crazy.
How about the wide receivers, though, too? Not that I want to harp too much on the game, but those wide receivers in that game last night, on one side you had Lockett and Metcalf, and Lockett looked great last night. Metcalf was kind of there, but, you know, only when he had 3 catches last night. DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Kirk on the other side. I mean, this was a good night to watch the wide receivers last night.
You know, so the Metcalf thing's kind of weird because he runs off the line of scrimmage, and I'm not trying to get technical. Playing against Peterson, he put a move at the line of scrimmage, froze him. And I mean, by the time the TV got the shot, he was 5 yards out in front of him, caught the ball down the sideline, I don't know, 30, 35 yard, whatever play it would have been. And you're like, what the hell happened? So it got called back because of a terrible call on a hole. Just a horrible call. Horrible call. They thought it was a takedown, and it was a real clean, really bad call by the officials. And I didn't have a dog in the fight. I could care less, but that was a bad call.
Right.
But, man, what a great release by that big horse. Oh, my God, just a great release. To get that open off your release is for all the kids out there. And, by the way, the kids down here know it because they work on it every day. I think that's why they're so damn good, all the receivers in the NFL that are from down here are playing so well. But, man, you got to learn. You can't play in this league if you can't beat bump and run right at the start. I mean, they now talk about, well, this guy's one of the best receivers, and they go, well, what's he do best? Oh, best off the ball. Best release off football, sets his, it's over after his releases. And I mean, it's always been important, but now they really break it down. And, you know, we got all the analytics on releases and who does the best job of creating space off releases. Well, that thing last night was a friggin' winner. Even though, and then his touchdown, it looked like I was playing at Plantation at the parks over there playing Sandlot football. So you're going, what kind of route did he run to get wide open, Metcalf's open in the, for the touchdown? He was just running like it was just a.
It looked like Sandlot, a play called up like in the sand.
It was just like,
right?
Yeah, you just kind of run around and right. Like the guy goes, just run around and I'll find you. And so
just
he's zigzagging back and forth till he finally got open last night, which doesn't take that big son of a gun very long to do that. It was pretty good. You know what we got tonight, guys? I never thought I was going to say this, but they're in the playoffs. Nashville and Inter Miami are going to have a soccer game tonight for the playoffs. And it's pretty cool. I know we don't talk much, and, you know, they've kind of gotten lost, and we don't hear much from them. And I don't know if they have a PR department or anything like that. I don't know. I know a lot of the former guys from our radio station are all working with them now. I know a lot of those guys, Big O, and those guys all have jobs over there and doing different things. But Nashville and Inter Miami in the playoffs. Now, I don't know how many teams got in the playoffs or anything else, but, and, you know, they're down the road. I think when things get back to normal, they're going to go out and buy themselves some really good players. But I just thought, you know, we're talking about teams getting to the playoffs. First year here, and Inter Miami is going to be in a playoff game.
Nice to see another local team in the playoffs. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't
really.
That's
the happiest part of it.
I
right.
haven't followed them that much. They apparently right. don't follow us very much either. So, because again, you know, I don't know. I love the Moss family. Always been a big fan of the two brothers. Always been great. Spent some time with them at some Super Bowl parties, committees, and. But I have no idea. We don't know much what they've done for high school football. I thank them.
Right,
Tim Robbie,
right.
I don't know if you know this or if we said this, but Tim Robbie runs the Lockhart Stadium now. And they fixed that up. And I got to give it to them. They have made sure our high school football games are played up there in those beautiful fields. So Lockhart's getting used not only for soccer, but for making sure the high school football games get played there. I'm guessing probably – a lot of soccer events for high schools and everything else will also be played up there. But I always thank Tim Robbie, man. I run into him from time to time. And, Tim, if you're out there, man, thank you. Because it's cool right. that we got another place. I mean, we just got a shortage of fields here. We don't have enough football fields like a lot of places. A lot of inner city places don't have enough fields. So when you get somebody that's – I mean, they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to say, by the way, we're going to have a side field and we're going to let high school football play there on Friday or Saturday. I thought that was pretty cool. I just to loan that out and let them play at night with lights and stuff.
Good job by them. Right.
Yeah, and good listen, Tim's a owner, and you know his family's owned the Miami Dolphins and helped bring the Miami Dolphins here. And Tim is just as good as they get. Tim Robbie is as good. Spent a lot of time with Tim, and he is special. That's a special, special dude. Really is. Anyway, Jer, that was my coffee cup, which is empty right now, Zach.
Uh-oh. I know what that means.
Oh, it's calling me. How much do we still have left?
I was afraid
there?
You had another big spill.
No, but I did something last night. I had a wine spill last night doing a Zoom event last night late.
Oh.
And, yeah.
But you don't, I thought you weren't much of a wine guy. What happened there?
I'm not, but I
Is that why you spilled it all over the place?
Yeah.
I sipped
a
little bit last night. I sipped on it.
Wow.
Just
Expensive wine,
buzz.
Cheap wine, what happened?
Yeah. Oh, no, good stuff, good stuff. Oh, but I don't know good from bad, but this was good stuff. I mean, I just go by the price, right? I mean, it's good
right,
stuff.
Right, that's it. Why? Well, how else do you do it? I mean, I know you don't know much about wine. Who does?
Well, how you wake up in the morning, too, is certainly dependent on how good the quality of the wine is.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, little
hangover. Tequila and wine, right?
If you drink those old $3 bottles of wine, you wake up with a nasty headache.
Oh, man.
Yeah, did your wine come in a box? That's what you have to ask first.
Yeah,
right?
No. I get it. I get it. Yeah, I understand. You guys are onto something there. But I feel fine. Today.
We're not worried, Joe. We know you don't drink cheap stuff.
No. That would not be what I would think.
There it goes, man. Yeah. There it goes. Yeah. What do you think I was drinking? Like $200 bottles of wine, man.
Well, I mean, in this circumstance, I'm going to tend to agree with Hollywood on this. I don't think you're the, you know, $3.99 bottled wine guy.
Yeah, I mean, you told a story the other day about you puking up some $200 whiskey, so I would imagine that you drink expensive wine.
I did not pay for that. I can tell you, the late, great, around the clock, Mr. Lenny, bought that at $200-something a bottle. That was not me. He bought it. I drank it with him.
And you threw it right up, huh?
And I threw it right up. I said, Lenny, this is so good. Along with that beautiful steak dinner I just had, can you pull over here right over on this sidewalk? That looks like a good spot. Hey, right now, guys.
I didn't know you puked up the fancy steak, too, man. Man,
it's a whole night of puking up, right?
That's disrespectful. That's rough.
No, that just tells you how bad it is when a steak comes up. That
wasn't the $12.99 steak either, Hollywood.
No.
Or you didn't have the sirloin special?
No, he did not. No.
No.
I'm guessing filet or something.
Yeah, no. Yep, it was. I mean, me throwing up as a grown ass man and embarrassing my wife is not something I want to talk about.
You're not
about
a filet guy, though, are you?
What's that mean?
You strike me as like, I know like some of the older guys, they like a bunch of fat on their steak, you know, like the grizzle and stuff.
So I did like that as a kid because my mother had fat on everything, and that was a big thing. I did like the fat as much as the actual as a kid, but I kind of grew out of that a little bit. Yeah. But, yeah, man. So can I tell you guys something without getting, like, all disgusted here?
I can't wait.
So I have some country relatives. Most of my family on both sides are ranchers. So – if you know where this is going, my great-grandfather had a dairy farm. So the dairy farm he allowed and had regular, not milk cows, but eating cows. And so we paid and we'd get, they kill them and we get half the cow or a quarter of the cow or whatever. So
sounds kosher.
Just going. I go... They used to tell my wife then, she goes, you guys killed the cow? I go, yeah, we watched it. Like,
This is like you go to one of those you pick berry places, except with cows and you hack them up and bring them home?
Right.
Like you personally hack the cows?
No. But,
no,
my,
you
but
had someone
my,
do it
my,
for
you.
You
bring your own sword?
No, my dad and uncles could cut up like deer meat and cows and all that stuff. Yeah, that's what they did.
Did you say sword? Is that what just came out of Hollywood?
I don't know what else you slice up a cow with.
Well, it'd be a knife.
I'm going to turn vegan after the show today.
I don't know what's funnier. Sword comment?
I just picture, like, my dad, when he eats a steak, like, he seems to enjoy the grizzle just as much as the meat. Like, he just gnaws away on that stuff.
That's an old school thing. See,
that's my dad also. You're right.
Yeah,
that's
an old school because that's what...
My dad won't eat a filet.
That's what I hated when you turned professional. All the steaks were all good, and there was none of the fat. Well, where the hell's the fat? Killed you.
Moving
hey, we gotta get rolling here, man. I gotta tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealer. You know Fridays are special at your South Florida Chevy dealer because now all of a sudden people are getting their list together, and the lease is up, and they're starting to look for something brand new. And where are we going this weekend? I want to get out and take some test drives and get something new. We need more space for the family. Need something new. I just want something that looks really nice, something that's affordable, but I want something really safe for my family. Well, listen, we got it all for you, and a price you're absolutely going to love is going on at your South Florida Chevy dealers this weekend for you. You betcha. This is a great time if you've been listening to me talk about the new look Tahoes and the new look Suburbans. Get on out and find out for yourself, because if it's about space for you and being comfortable, well, you're going to love both of them a lot, and you got to go out and take a look. We got some new looks in, but listen, this is by far the best overall products that the Chevy family has had. Silverado trucks have never looked better, never been more style and selection to fit what your life's like and what you need every day of the week. Then on top of that, if you're looking at midsize SUVs, you want something smaller than something like that big, beautiful Tahoe, I wouldn't understand it, but if it is, you're going to love the Traverse, that midsize SUV. You're also going to love the new Chevy Blazer. God, they look good. Now, you guys are all talking about how sexy the Corvettes are and the Camaros. You're right. They've never looked better. The new Corvette is a killer sweet look to it, man. I know you're going to love that. Get on out. I don't have time to tell you about everything going on, but it is time to go out and check it out, because you'll absolutely fall in love. from top to bottom, your whole experience at your South Florida Chevy dealers is going to be a home run. Locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
All right, have you downloaded the Radio.com app yet? Well, it's easy. You download it and make sure the Joe WQM is your favorite station. Sign up for notifications so you know exactly what's happening here on the station. And listen to 560 The Joe WQM on the Radio.com app.
All right, Zach, listen, we got one game tomorrow. One game with two top-ranked teams. Top-ranked. Indiana, great story, not basketball. Indiana football and Ohio State. So I was like, you know, it's a great story with Indiana. And then I did that thing. Go ahead, Hollywood. What's that thing I like to say when Ohio State plays Indiana or something like that?
They don't recruit the same people.
Exactly. That's why the spread is 20 and a half points.
Right. That's a huge spread for a game like that, right?
So on one hand, you're going, hey, Indiana, Ohio State. And you're going, wow, that should be a really good game. And I go, wait a second. We always talk about this on the show. There are four teams. If you want to put somebody else in there, you can. But there are basically four teams that recruit. Like, if there's a five-star guy from coast to coast, they're going after him. And the percentages go up that they're going to get him. So, if you're with me on this, and I say this every time it pops up, Ohio State's one of them. That's why I bring it up. Ohio State and Indiana are not recruiting the same guys. Clemson and the rest of the ACC, still not recruiting the same guys. Right. Still not. Like Alabama, you know the story. I didn't even need to tell you.
Right.
And whoever else you want to put in as that fourth one, Oklahoma from time to time has sprinkled
them
in.
Those three are the three most consistent when we make that argument.
Georgia sprinkling it in. I see Florida making a strong move and dancing
LSU
a little bit.
LSU was in that argument also, you know, obviously not this year, but yeah.
So LSU just got, they got wiped out at, they not only had a record amount of guys get drafted, they had a rookie free agent tight end that's a good player, and then they had guys opt out not to come back because they're going to be first round picks. So they just decided, I'm not coming out now. I'm just going to go work out. So they just, I mean, this is the time you want to play LSU before they load back up and get rolling again. So, yeah, I saw that game, and I'm thinking, okay, man, like, they're going to hype the hell out of this game. And you go, wait a second. It's a three-touchdown game. Like, right. Vegas is telling you.
It's going to be a blowout.
Indiana's going to kick the ball off, and they're up basically 21 points.
Yep.
It's
and I expect Ohio State to hammer this team too, make a statement in this game.
Oh, this would be a good one to try to get your
top 10 matchup. Indiana is actually on top of them because of the record in that side of the Big Ten. Yeah, Ohio State's going to come out here and hope that Fields doesn't play at all in that fourth quarter.
Well, listen, I just thought, wow. So they're trying to pump you up on that game, and then quietly go. Vegas is saying it's not a very good game.
No.
But Indiana's been a great story. Listen, you know, again, a basketball area, huge basketball area. That state is all basketball.
Right.
It has been basketball for a long, long time. And now they got a football team that's done nice, right? Beat Michigan. Really, really nice story what they've been able to do. But now they're playing against somebody where football is – everything.
Right.
Treated like a professional sport. They get 100 plus at home or whatever Ohio State holds now. But it's just kind of disappointing. You're going, wow, I can't wait to see what Indiana looks like. And then you're going, wait a second, man.
What's Vegas
saying about this damn game right now? Oh, Vegas telling you they don't think it's a very good game. But I'll tell you what, the NFL's got a bunch of good games. Tennessee, Baltimore, Green Bay, and Indianapolis, Kansas City, and Las Vegas should be a good one if Vegas can knock out some of the COVID-19 and get some of these guys back. And Rams and the Bucks.
Right.
And by the way, both those teams, you never know which team's going to show up because they can both be really, really good. And we've also recently seen a stinker from both of them. So that's what you have. And, of course, the Dolphins going after their sixth win at Denver. Drew Locke, the starting quarterback, has sore ribs, coming off four interceptions. I guess started to move around, is going to try to play in this game. So the Dolphins, listen, they're not. It doesn't matter. They're going to play the same no matter who it is at this point. They're going to go after everybody as long as those two corners are healthy back there. They're going to let it rip, and that's not going to change anytime soon at all. Bunch of other
things. I want to go real quickly. Talking about matchups and especially college football, and at the same time Indiana Ohio State play. When was the last time you remember, especially doing sports down here, that a Florida State team was getting 35.5 points against anybody? I know they're playing Clemson, and Clemson's a big dog, and Trevor Lawrence is coming back. That's fine. But when was the last time you saw a Florida State football team getting 36 points, basically, in a game that Clemson's favorite? I mean, I was looking through all the stuff because I know we're going to talk to Brandon Lang later in the show, and I'm thinking to myself, I need to, like, almost ask him, when was the last time a team like that, a Florida State team, was getting 5 touchdowns? Like, that's a lot. I mean, Florida State has – you want to talk about a team that is literally needs to, like, redo that whole program. It's Florida State.
So I'm still asking myself, of all the upsets this year, how did Florida State beat North Carolina?
Right.
Still, like, they had scratchers this year. That might be number one, because this coach has come in with a great reputation, and he's got his work cut out for him. He didn't get off to a great start. Some guys have transferred quietly, have left. We don't talk about it because we're not in Tallahassee. So they've had some guys leave. Matter of fact, their starting quarterback is – Blackman left. I don't know if people realize that. Kid from Pahokee High School, he's gone. So there been
they're
some –
They're 2-6, Joe. 1-6 in the ACC.
I never thought
Jeez.
We would see Florida State drop like this.
Right.
Because they've actually done it, unless I'm mistaken, there's been no probation for them. They didn't go through what Miami's gone through twice.
Right.
They have not had that. And Jimbo just had it rolling. I mean, it was, you know, it just seemed like yesterday, Jameis Winston and, you know, and whatever was going on at school, and people were upset, but they were winning games. So their fan base wasn't yelling too much. And then the thing just kind of
fell
apart.
Right.
Jimbo takes off for A&M, and it has just been a mess. And it's not a very patient group right now either at all. Not a very, very patient group. Anyway, hey, listen, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up. We got some high school football. We got to jump all over today. We got Tri-County football championships right around the corner. And one of the committee members, Larry Bluestein, is going to join us coming up there, as well as the state championships. We'll continue on. And we got some sexy games tonight. You get a handful of games during a football season, even during this crazy one, that are going to be pretty fun to watch. So we're going to have that coming up for you. Penny Hardaway is expected, the head coach for Memphis, is expected to join us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll try to pick some winners in the 8 o'clock hour with Brandon Lang. Mike Florio will join us. So we got a lot of stuff coming up here on a Friday. Right now, I want to talk to you about sports-related injuries. Hate talking about them. I do. I hate talking about them. But listen, reality is, sooner or later, whether you play a team sport or an individual sport, you will get injured. We all get injured. It happens to everybody. And then the question is, everybody wants to go to the best. Everybody wants to go where they can have great results, where you walk in and the doctor goes, oh yeah, I've seen this like 7 times in the last 3 days. I've operated and fixed this. I've had great success with this. I'm familiar with this injury. I've got a lot of guys that have played at a high level coming back from this injury. Those are the kind of answers you get when you go to Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. Where do the pros go, Joe? Where do the pros go? Enter Miami, Miami Heat, Florida Panthers, Miami Dolphins, and lots of high school, college, and professional athletes here in South Florida and around the country come right here to South Florida to Doctors Hospital to see those great specialists and surgeons that they have for every part of the body. Some of the best in the business. You want to talk about great results? You don't have to leave South Florida. No, don't worry about that. If it's a sports-related injury, I promise you, nobody's got more experience than those doctors down at Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. All set up. Dr. Swartzen's got it rolling up in Broward County. And listen, they can take care of you no matter where you are. It's growing. It's getting only better. I know you're going to love going there. It's where I had both my knees scoped, and I want you to make sure that you get a place that's going to get you healthy quickly and get you back out playing the sports you love the most. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho and make an appointment today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.